Hello, one and all, and welcome back to the Pro Wrestling Post podcast with myself, Mark Blake, and my buddy from across the pond, Mark Madison. How are you doing, fella?
Doing great, my friend. How are you?
Very well. We are recording my time, the UK time, at 6:30 on a Wednesday evening. Basically, we normally record on a Friday. But we thought we'd bring it forward a few days so we can get this pod to your lovely ear rolls and you can hear our wonderful picks and thoughts and feelings about this weekend's Elimination Chamber. Isn't that right, Mark?
Exactly. How best to get people prepared for the weekend by setting up the weekend in the middle of the week. Something to look forward
to. Yes. And being a Brit, I'm actually watching this pay-per-view at a very reasonable hour, unlike yourself. And I don't mean to rub it in your face, but I don't care because I've had decades of the 1 a.m. starts over here. And now you, sir, are going to have is it a 5 a.m. start?
It's a 5 a.m. start. So I won't be watching it live because I know my kids would also want to be a part of that too. And we don't need any help getting them up early. So let's try to take advantage of that, pre-record it. And the goal is to try to stay off social media and watch it at a decent time later that evening.
Staying off social media. Ooh, very tricky in your line of work.
That'll be tough. That'll be very tricky. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to just be sat at home at 10 a.m. I'm going to get the popcorn out. I might get some mac and cheese bites a few hours later into the event and watch, hopefully, an amazing pay-per-view. I mean, this is the first Australian pay-per-view, isn't it?
No, actually, they had a Super Showdown that was in Australia. I think it's the first time in Perth, but they have had another Australian pay-per-view that took place. I remember the Iconics were part of it. It was all very well heralded a couple years back. And I can't remember. I think it was like an added, it wasn't like a designated themed noted pay-per-view like we have, like an Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I can't remember from where it was, but Grand Stadium, I think there was like 100,000 people that would, so I can't remember the location of Super Showdown, or the year, but it's a couple years removed.
Is that the one where Buddy Murphy won the Cruiserweight title?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And the Iconics won the women's tag title or something.
That was so cool. So cool.
They were.
They would absolutely thrive right now.
Yeah, they would. This would be it. I remember Emma tweeting out the announcement that I can't wait that, the WWE is coming to Perth for... And then an hour later, she's announced, doesn't matter because she's been released. It was awful.
Yeah, man.
But
gutting. Absolutely gutting. Oh, but as I'm sure she would say, the show must go on. We will be talking about, obviously, the Elimination Chamber matches a little bit later. But let's start with something that has really, really made me happy. Being a Brit... seeing these boys of mine grow and become amazing, and I hate using this term, WWE superstars, but the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship is on the line when Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, who are called the New Catch Republic or something along those lines, themselves? Take on another favourite of mine, another boy of mine, Finn Balor, and... Senior Money in the Bank. Mark, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? Go for it.
Much like yourself, it's great to see Pete and Tyler working together, now doing this consistently on the main screen, main page, as part of Raw, and now they're going to be competing on a major pay-per-view. I think what's interesting, though, here is that the name change, the New Catch Republic, certainly gets away from the British Strong Style, which was a collaboration, right? And I like the fact that they're not trying to use that same name, because without Trent Seven, it's not the same thing, regardless of how you might feel about certain talents or not. This new Catch Republic could be different. It's such a difference in personalities. You still have the bruiserweight character Pete, and then you have it's almost like, I don't know if you ever watched that Mike Myers film The Guru. It was years ago. Do you ever remember watching that? So Justin Timberlake was in it. Mike Myers played this peace loving but guru, and he would just. So I'm kind of get that feeling that all getting spiritual and getting into your inner feelings. Tyler Bate had that kind of character that he was playing with it at NXT a little bit. So that kind of it's an interesting combination, because if it was a comedy duo, you've got the straight man in Pete to the comedy act of Tyler. And I never knew that you really could see that in him when he first debuted years ago, but definitely can see it now, and it's great.
I can't say enough about these two. You know, I've spoken to you about them for, oh my God, 5, 6 years, 7 years even.
Yes.
I don't know. It's quite a few years. Back over here, just tearing up the UK scene, tearing up the European scene, and seeing them just, what do the kids say nowadays, get their flowers over the pond now in WWE. It's just, I'm so happy. So happy. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to walk away victorious. I really don't think.
No.
Finn is on a roll. And Damian Priest he's looking dominant without being dominant. The booking with him is, obviously at some point he's going to be stepping up for a singles title. Maybe they drop the titles at Mania to who? I do not know. It could be a like scramble match or a four-way or etc. being Mania. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really don't see it, as much as I desperately want to see it happen. It's not. It's a shame.
It feels like there has at least been a conscious effort to put teams of talents that really are good workers together, like DIY being back together and being utilized,
yeah.
And Alpha Academy really having really a nice comparison of styles between Otis and Gable. And now with Pete and Tyler being together, fans are getting the chance to see that too. But you never want just teams that don't have that connection to the crowd. And I don't know if they've been given really the fair time to develop that or showcase that skill set. And like, tell us more about why that name? Why New Catch Republic? Why should it matter? Why should it be important to us? We've seen them on the other side of things and how they work to that. And I think that's the only thing that's working against them. If they were connecting, if they could get an LA Knight type pop, then it's a little different, right? We've got something else to talk about. But I completely agree with you. I think that's to be the time for them to win. But the opportunity in being on an event in front of how many? What's the audience like? What have you heard?
Oh, I'm not sure. Crowd? I don't know what the what stadium holds, but you're bang on. I don't think they're going to walk away with the belts, but they are going to show up and show off, and the world are going to see just how good they are, and all us Brits are going to turn around and say, "See, told you so." They are mm-hmm. awesome. All right, they are going to miss Trent a little bit, but to be fair, Trent wasn't really the greatest in ring. He was on the mic. He was good. He brought a presence. It was definitely Pete and Tyler that did most of the heavy lifting. But
yeah.
It's Pete and Tyler's coming out party in a different kind of way.
Now, pardon my ignorance when I say this, and I'm throwing this out there not because I don't think they're already a quality team, but I mean, they're not even from the same countries. So, I mean, not that Pete and Tyler aren't from the same country. But with the focus on Rhea, and she's from Australia, and then there's a focus mm-hmm. on Grayson Waller, and he's going to, is it that there is, did they have a bit of a following or a connection in Australia? Did they compete at all? Like, we know about the work that they did in Progress in the UK and in Europe. But was there a bit of a working relationship in Australia? Did they have a bit of a following then?
I'm not too sure about a working relationship, but when Will Ospreay, who, by the way, had an amazing match last Sunday against Marco Oku for RevPro, we'll talk about that on a different pod. But when Will Ospreay went over to, is it MCW, Melbourne City Wrestling? I'm sure there might have been some like cross-pollination at the same time from the guys from the UK. Don't quote me on that, folks. I could be, and possibly you are wrong, but I have a feeling that that kind of happened. But they know. The Australians know. They're not stupid. They're
no.
They're wrestling fans, and we're not stupid at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if that had something to do with maybe them getting this opportunity, as opposed to say it being a Alpha Academy, or like it may have been very conscious in the booking of who they have in that spot at that time. Much like, you know, Sami Zayn being facing Roman Reigns when he did last year in Montreal. So, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So you had mentioned that, you know, we know that Damian Priest is, we don't know what the future holds for him, and not necessarily after this, but what do you think amongst the four men, who's the one that makes the best showing? Who's the one that turns heads, win or loss?
I honestly think, right, let me take you back to who became the first WWE UK champion?
Mr. Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. There's a reason why he was crowned the UK champion, and why NXT UK, it wasn't really put on his shoulders as such, but he became the flag bearer for it. Tyler is, this word is thrown over too much, but he's a phenom. He is so young. I mean, Pete's about, 3 or 4 years older than Tyler. And really? I think between them, they've got about 25 years experience. And I don't think they've even reached 30 yet.
No, I don't think so.
They were training when they were like teens, very young teens. And they just, I'm gushing here. But Tyler is the guy that will turn the most heads. Tyler is the one I think the majority of people are going to walk away going, holy crap, I didn't know he could do that. He was that good. He could sell. He could, you know, everything. He's going to be the standout from that match. Pete's going to do his thing where he just hurts people in ridiculously extravagant ways. And then you've got Judgment Day, who I think if I was booking, Judgment Day are going to pinch this by a nefarious means, I think, along with a match later on in the card, just to keep them strong and set up something at Mania. Again, I don't quote me on this. I just have a feeling that that's the way it's going.
Do you think that so you said, you know, by nefarious means, you think there could be a callback? I mean, JD McDonagh has history with Pete and Tyler and their times, and it'd be a nice callback to them talking about how they might have worked together or not, and maybe JD forgetting where he came from to some extent.
I think JD is going to he's gonna get involved. He's going to help them get the win. And then, like I said, later on in the show, again, through nefarious means, I think someone else is going to win. But we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk about possibly one of the guys that's going to get one of the biggest pops of the night, Mr. Grayson Waller. He's having his chat show, his little sofa and between two ferns kind of thing, with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, which, when you're looking at it, it doesn't really look that exciting, I think is the word. But when you break it down, it could have some ramifications. I'm not too sure if you saw what Triple H posted today on the Twitter.
I did not.
He's obviously promoting the pay-per-view this Sunday. And he has posted, the road to WrestleMania XL runs through Perth this Saturday, .. And the implications will be monumental. Now, I'm kind of thinking that this little chat show with Mr. Grayson Waller could be what he's talking about there. Just an inkling, because we've got all this bloodline, The Rock, Roman, everything going on between them and Cody and Seth. Do you think there could be something along those lines there?
I definitely think that there's something along those lines there. You and I have been ones to see the Grayson Waller effect live, so we know full well the havoc that can come from watching that show. Maybe not be just watching the show, but maybe being a part of that show. And yeah, if you're looking at potentially either Paul Heyman being there and getting involved, maybe not The Rock, maybe not Roman, but potentially at least Paul Heyman being implicated in some way. Maybe Jimmy, maybe Solo to some extent, and they're them getting involved. It might set up something like a prelude to something, potentially, of something that would take place. What's that going to look like is the million-dollar question, because there's so many ways in which they can work this, right? There's so many ways they can work this in that you've got two nights. Do you have three of the four guys work two nights back-to-back with Seth facing whoever the champion is, Cody versus Roman, and Cody and Seth against Rock and Roman? Like, that's a lot of just the three or four of them as a focus to work two nights, high caliber, a lot of pressure, 100,000 people, maybe closer to 200,000 if you're looking at total numbers over the next two nights. That's a lot to put up for a mistake to happen. And injuries happen just wrestling once. Could you imagine doing that twice with somebody that's already feeling the effects of what Seth is with his knee? So what is that going to look like? What's your take on it?
I'm sure a few weeks back, I'm sure Roman said that he was going to be at the show. He wasn't going to wrestle, but he's going to be at the show. So it's looking like himself and Paul Heyman will come out. Could The Rock be there? I don't know. It's going to be very difficult for him to fly to Australia and no one know about it. I don't know, but there's going to be something that happens there. Could you have the tag match there as a special match? I very, very much doubt it. I've seen people talk about that. If they're going to have that match, they're going to promote the hell out of it. They're not going to just quickly just chuck it on a card. I don't know. I just, as I said earlier, I'm not sure what, but I think this is going to light the touch paper to have that monumental decisions and everything else that's going to happen at Mania that Triple H just said in his tweet.
Yeah, well, we've heard Rock say he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that Cody comes out as a loser. What does that mean leading up to it? Does that mean losing along the way, affecting his confidence going in, that, you know, they're changing the story based on it? I don't know. But the ride is pretty exciting. Let's see what happens. So, I mean, one of the guys that doesn't get mentioned when we're looking at Grayson Waller effect. Yeah, we've got Grayson Waller, and sure, we've got Cody Rhodes, and sure, we have Seth Rollins, and the two of them have become these kissing cousins, all friendly, all we get along. Yeah, we respect each other, blah, blah, blah. Not to say that's a bad thing, but the one person that seems to have Grayson Waller's back is Austin Theory, former U.S. champion. Yeah. And to have somebody to watch your back, you know, it's not to say that if havoc does come about and something does take place, well, there's somebody there with you. So, yeah, it's not to say that. Go for it.
As you've just thrown his name into the ring, literally, could we get a tag match there for the, you know, an unannounced tag match, Seth and Cody against Austin and Grayson?
It's very well possible that that happens. I think the concern is they are probably so guarded with anything happening to Seth before Mania. If they could keep him out of anything physical, what's the bigger, like a tag match or just just, you know, the Grayson Waller effect kind of breaking down and just guys brawling around and pushing each other and shoving each other. A little bit different than taking bumps.
I think you could do the tag match. You just, yeah. Cody takes the heat, and then Seth will come in with a hot tag, clean house, curb stop, done. It's I don't think it's that difficult as long as Cody takes the heat. Yeah. Cody does the majority of the match, takes the heat, hits the hot tag to Seth. Seth comes in, cleans house, curb stomp, 1, 2, 3, everyone's happy. That could work. You may get the breakdown of the Grayson Waller effect, where all four are brawling around and Triple H is on screen, or even Triple H comes out for a massive pop and goes, right, pack it in, match right now. Something along those lines. I just don't see it. At the moment, it's a 4-match card for a pay-per-view. Mm. I mean, you don't normally get that unless it's Royal Rumble, which is like a huge A-star tier pay-per-view. Folks, I don't say that stupid new thing they call it. It's always a pay-per-view.
PLE?
So, yeah. We're going to fall out in a minute.
Yeah, we are. I won't say what it stands for. I just want, there you go.
But, yeah, I just Now you've kind of talked me into it. I can see this breaking down and turning into a tag match. Okay, so a few minutes ago I spoke about the Judgment Day and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate match and how there's going to be some nefarious means, and I hinted about something else happening in the show. That, dear listeners, is the WWE Women's World Championship match between, God, I can't believe she got a title shot, between Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. Personally, it's going to be shenanigans, and Dominic, are going to come out and help Rhea retain. I was going to say I hope Nia gets injured, but no, I don't want anyone to get injured. So people that know me, and I've posted it on social media, know that I do not like Nia Jax. I think she's not good in the big woman role. I don't think she can wrestle that well. And yeah, look, you all know. Sorry, I'm trying really hard to be very nice here because I'm like making the pod with you and got to make it PG and family friendly. So I'm going to lay out now and give you all this match, and I'll come in at the end and tell you what I think about the nefarious means.
See, when you talk about, you know, being a big woman that doesn't seem to be as polished as some others that are in that same role. Piper Niven seems to do it flawlessly and has made it work. And then before her, the likes of Bull Nakano, who made it work really well too. Aja Kong. I mean, it can be done. There really needs to be time and dedication spent to honing your craft. And mistakes happen. We've heard that countless times. But then when are mistakes preventable and careless? And then when they start running into that, they start getting concerned because people's livelihoods are at stake too. And for all intents and purposes, it seems like she's very well liked, and I'm not one to shoot on somebody. They certainly can do a better job at this than me. Probably not than you, because you've trained to wrestle. Mr. Blake, so I haven't, and so I'd
like to cut you off there. I did do some training to learn how to wrestle before the people that I know write on social media, he did what? He didn't do no such thing. I began my training, and long story short, I was crap. So that's why I transitioned into ring announcing and everything else. So thank you for the flowers. See, I'm down with the kids again. Thank you for the flowers. There you go. Totally undeserved.
But at the same time, you know, even to be so close to seeing preparation that goes into it, and to see all of that, and how careful someone has to be, you can speak to that. I can't. I can't sit here in an armchair and say they're lazy, they're sloppy. But what have I done? Who am I? So whereas you can, and not that you're saying that she is, I'm just saying that you can speak to how training is done, how performance and how that should equate to being, hey, you've got emotions get high, intensity gets high, but you still have to think your opposition. You attack them, right?
I get that. I totally get that. My issue is with Nia is that, again, I'm not having a go at her as a person or anything at all like that. I watched WWE. What was that show that was the women's?
Total Divas?
Is it Total Divas? That's the one, yeah. Total Divas. I was forced. I prefaced this. I was forced to watch this with my wife. Okay. She got into it. And obviously Nia was on there and she came across lovely and a really nice person. In the ring, she doesn't, to me, I don't buy it. She's supposed to be this big, hulking, giant of a woman. I don't get it. She doesn't look like it. She screams. She puts on the scowl, which is a struggle at times, I think, for her to do because she is such a nice person. And then, as you said earlier about the mistakes happen, mistakes can happen, obviously, in everyday life and in the ring. But when mistakes happen to from the same person time after time after time, you've got to question what the hell's going on. Is it a lack of concentration? Is it a lack of training? Is it a lack of self-belief? I don't know. But I just don't like Nia Jax as in the ring. I think she needs to be a lot more polished. And to be fair, after losing this, send her down to NXT. Send her down to NXT. She could be dominant across all those people. And at the same time, she can help. Well, she can help out, but she can train a bit more in the PC because I don't get it. I really don't.
Fair enough.
Sorry. Hot take. I'm really sorry.
Nothing to apologize for.
So now Tom and Nick. God, sorry, I can't stop saying that. Especially my little wingman. He keeps calling Dominic Tom and Nick. Dirty Dom is going to get involved. He's going to help Rhea win. And Judgment Day are going to walk out of Elimination Chamber and into Mania champions. And I think the story with Judgment Day is between now and Mania, possibly that dissension's going to grow a bit more. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to step up. I don't know. What about you? Do you see anything big happening with Judgment Day this year?
See, as far as with like Rhea, I don't see her needing anyone to help her, whereas everybody else has needed her.
Yeah.
Because if she's got that leadership type mentality and she's strong, okay, so she's taken a few lumps from Nia, but at the same time, those are moments. I see her handily still showing her strength and putting Nia in her place on her own. Whereas, look what I can do, boys, that you can't, that you need me and I don't need you. You know, you shouldn't have to be dependent on me to do it for you. So I still, much like yourself, agree that she's going to win. I'm not so sold that she needs to do it through nefarious means. I think Damien and Finn would need it, but I don't think she needs it.
A friend of the podcast and a pro wrestling post writer, Mr. Ethan Black. Hi there, dude. How you doing? Thank you for getting in touch on social media. He asked on my post, what do we think would main event the show? There's been talk about the this match, Rhea against Nia. Main eventing. I don't think it's that big of a match to finish the show. I mean, with Rhea winning and her standing tall in the ring, holding a belt, fireworks going off, that's going to be an amazing image. But I don't see that as closing the show. It's not high up on the list of what's the word? Priority matches, I suppose, without sounding like an arsehole. What about you? Have you got any idea that could close the show?
I think maybe the men's chamber match, probably closing the show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I can see Rhea coming out maybe on the stage at the end of the women's chamber match because that's who she's going to be facing at Mania. I could see that happening, big stare down. but I can't see the big hoo-ha for a to main event a show.
Now, if it was Rhea against, say, a Becky Lynch, a Charlotte Flair, then that's a little different. But I don't see her facing a Nia Jax being what would close out a show. I think you'd almost need another A-lister, somebody that's had that main event of a major pay-per-view experience behind them to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody you can get time with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to transition into that match now, the women's elimination. Elimination chamber match. Okay, hold tight, folks. Here we go. So it's Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Raquel Rodriguez. I mean, that's quite a good field. There could be some really, really good action in this match. You've got the two strong girls. You've got Bianca and Raquel. That's going to be, I can see the crowd popping when they come face to face in the ring. Yeah, what do you think?
I like, it almost looks like there's levels to those that are going to, their place on either the division or where they would be. I almost see Naomi and Becky being kind of simpatico with Tiffany being the youngest or newest there, with Liv having a little more experience. And yes, like you said, the two strong girls in Raquel and Bianca too. But who's our pick to win? I think we probably might be in the same boat as who we think to win, but I think we're going to be surprised with the output of some. I think Tiffany Stratton's not there just to play. I think we're going to see why she's up and what she's capable of. I think it's also going to be important for Liv Morgan to make a showing too, after losing time and injuries and all that. So I think it's Becky's to lose, put it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a toss up between Becky and Bianca, but if they're going to make this, you know, WrestleMania 40, such a monumental, sorry, Triple H show, it's going to have to be Becky. She's the biggest star in this field by a long shot. I mean, I know Bianca's huge at the moment, but you know, she's not a Becky.
No.
But you touched on Liv Morgan. She's, yeah, as you said, she's not long come back from injury. She's she's showing a little bit of a darker side, isn't she? Is there going to be a heel turn? Do you reckon it will happen here?
With who specifically?
With Liv. Liv just turning heel. She's shown the dark side.
I think she's just, there's animosity. I think, I don't know about a heel turn so much. I don't know if we'd be convinced by a heel turn if they're trying to make her what Alexa Bliss could do. But remember, she's talked about really kindly, positively about her former tag team partner, Raquel Rodriguez, and them both being in this. So at least she did most recently. But I don't know if we'd be so convinced with the heel turn, but I guess that would take time to unfold. What's your take on it? Do you think she's going to...
You mentioned Alexa Bliss, and that's what I can see Liv just stepping into Alexa Bliss's shoes, because she's not... She's had the baby, hasn't she?
She has had the baby, yeah.
Yeah. So
she's got her mom haircut too, looks like.
I haven't seen any pictures.
She's got a soccer
mom haircut. Soccer mom haircut
for sure. Yeah.
My wife's all over social media, so she like shows me pictures of like wrestlers and the kids and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, great. I'm not really paying much attention, but lovely. Lovely. Thank you, darling. But I can see Liv stepping into the shoes of her and kind of like it. Maybe like a light version. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi's going to do some but she's going to do some memorable spots in the match. Raquel, talking about like the Liv heel turn, I reckon if she was, it's going to happen to Raquel. Maybe she'll get some kendo sticks or chairs or something that's hiding somewhere, and she'll just snap because she got eliminated and she's beats the ever-loving crap out of Raquel. I don't know. Something along those lines. But you also said about Tiffany. She's not there to make up numbers. For those of you that don't watch NXT, she was a shining star in NXT. She was great. She started off green, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Within months, she made so much progress. It's unreal. Really, really good. And seeing her up on the main roster is a testament to the work they're doing down in the PC, to be fair. They're churning them out, and they're coming up to the main roster in very, very good condition.
I learned something just recently about Tiffany that I think you're already aware of. Prior to her time in NXT, she was trained by a former AWA World Heavyweight Champion in Greg Gagne.
Really? I didn't know.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. She did an interview she did an interview on another podcast, and she conveyed what she learned from Greg, and Greg had conveyed how her first impressions were that, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? It almost felt like the character that you're seeing, that spoiled Eddie's girl sort of character, wasn't much of a stretch, but she's put the work in, and that's what you're getting to see. And she had a great showing against Becky when Becky won the NXT title. So
yeah, good match.
You know, so, but she's had some people train her really well, and now she's getting other training, WWE training, and she's really trying to develop her character. But she's got a gymnastics background too, so the stuff you're seeing falls in line with the Charlotte Flair too, right? Moonsaults off the top ropes. I mean, she does that. Was it world's prettiest moonsault? That jumping, really cute. So to call back to Christopher Daniels and his BME.
BME. It's got a potential to be a very, very good chamber match. To be fair, the last couple of women's chamber matches over the last few years have actually been very, very good. They seem to, it feels like to me that they've got to go, right, we know the men, we know what they can do, let's up our game, girls. And they really go out there and they just all to the wall, throw it, and yeah, awesome. So I'm kind of expecting the same again this Saturday. So, men's elimination chamber match, which we both feel is going to main event the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Once again, listeners, strap in. Don't strap on. That's a different podcast. Strap in, and here are the competitors. We have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, yeah, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. Mark, throw it straight to you, back to you once again. What do you think?
Well, friend, we right before we were talking, I kind of noticed something that I thought was a little awkward. So Logan Paul, LA Knight, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, all SmackDown superstars, with Drew McIntyre being the only Raw entrant. If five out of the six guys aren't going to be have any chance of winning this title or this match and facing Seth Rollins, that would be awkward for that title to also go back to SmackDown. So to keep everything equal, I mean, if the idea is that Cody does eventually move over to SmackDown and win the title, and Drew wins and faces Seth, then that seems to be in line with what makes sense. So, and with the push that Drew's getting, but I do see a few things coming about from this. So hear me out. If you followed the United States title picture lately, it's been Kevin Owens really doing everything he can to really embarrass Logan Paul. Even in defeat, Logan Paul looks, Kevin looks good. So who's to not say that that will not what he goes after? That if Logan Paul costs him a chance of winning the chamber, that's still a U.S. title fight to have. And who's not to say that that's something that potentially Randy Orton or LA Knight are in pursuit of, still on the same brand. And I think having lots of people compete for that title makes that just as valuable a secondary title.
Yeah. As you said, you're raising the value of the secondary titles, like Gunter / Walter for old school fans, is doing for the IC.
Indeed. So coming out of that, I think we do have Drew winning it. I don't think he needs the help of anybody in particular. I don't think the line getting involved, because really there's nobody there that's a threat to the bloodline as well. And really, ultimately, as Drew has said, it's all about big picture. So if the big picture is the world championship, well, it has nothing to do with the bloodline. And that's his target. That's his focus. So, but it kind of puts Bobby Lashley in limbo.
Could Drew winning this be the sweetener to re-sign again?
Definitely. His value is skyrocketed. I mean, the injury to CM Punk and his place on the card. Oh my goodness, he's a prominent player now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know he kept the company on his shoulders during the COVID era with no fans, etc. And as soon as fans come back, he kind of slipped down the card again. But sometimes the best things happen out of misfortune. And with Punk getting injured by Drew, he's him and Triple H and the booking team, the writers, they've just literally gone, right, let's go. And yeah, he's become numero uno bad guy.
Yeah. Now, when's his contract officially up? Do you have an idea?
I'm sure I read the summer. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm sure I read summer. I'll have a look.
Okay, so now as you say that, it's also around that time where Becky and Seth's contracts are up too. So there's a lot that has to be decided as far as who's signing for what and their place on the card. I mean, I think with Becky and Seth, I think they're company people. They're kind of like they'll roll up their sleeves and they're happy with where they are, because ultimately their place on the card isn't in jeopardy. They've been champions multiple times. They've main evented. They've made tons of money. It's not to say that they don't both take a break for a little bit, kind of like what Jordynne Grace did with TNA, and then come back a few months later and re-sign a contract. I know they're not people that they want to lose long term. So their value is going to be there, but so will Drew's. And they're going to just want Punk to be back. I think in an interview, Punk said 6 to 8 months for himself, which would put him on course to have that feud with Drew, right? So.
Well, I've just been reading, and it looks like that WWE have extended his contract through to the summer. He was off for a few months last year due to injury. And you know what they're like. They just put those months on the back end of the contract.
They still do that, don't they?
Yeah, they still do that. I don't know how, but they do. Mm. But fair enough. So I think according to this, it was supposed to be up round about now. But with him taking time off due to injury, they've bumped that back onto the back end. And he'll be around at least until the summer. So, yeah, we could get that match. And then, I don't know, is Punk going to beat him and send him back off to ICW or even AEW? But I don't know. Let's try and not exactly fantasy book. Let's try and make the connection from here to WrestleMania. So Drew's going to win. We think both the pair of us, Drew is going to win, face Seth at Mania night one, possibly. So what are we going to do with the rest of the field? So you've got LA Knight, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul. You said earlier that the three of them are embroiled in a US title push and pull, pardon the pun. Could we see the three of them in a three-way at Mania for the title?
For the US title?
Yeah.
So right now it's Kevin Owens and Logan Paul, but Randy and LA Knight, and throw AJ Styles into that mix too, who's sitting dark and brooding for something. They're easily all contenders. I'm angry. I'm happy. So he's and I can see them all giving value to that. They're not necessarily pursuing that because they were just after the WWE title, right? And they're going to be so far removed from Roman, I would say, until after WrestleMania or that title, that I don't know if that's the route they're going to go. But it, then they could circle back Randy and LA Knight and AJ Styles to going after either one of the two titles, right? So it's all about trying to elevate that the US title, or whoever, if it is Cody and he wins and he finishes his story, developing new contenders or threats for his belts. I don't know if there's certainly the roster's deep enough that they can do that. I mean, I want to see what guys, like, what happens with Rey Mysterio when he comes back. Is he going to go back into contending for the US title? That elevates then Santos Escobar, who would be going back for that title potentially too. Maybe Carlito's contending, maybe Karrion Kross or Bobby Lashley, who should also getting an opportunity too. So there's a deep enough roster to have people contending for the titles. It's just a matter of who's it going to be and for what.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't see, realistically, I can't see Bobby Lashley going in to the hunt for the US title or any title at the moment, because he's kind of involved with Karrion Kross and his crew.
Yeah.
I can see like a multi-man match happening there at Mania. Randy, I just feel like Randy's above the US title, even AJ to a certain degree. But with AJ being, I was going to say with AJ being gone for so long. What is wrong with me tonight? The same can be said for Randy.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, all of us, you know, listeners, we love to fantasy book. And as long as you're thinking with your head and not your heart, fantasy booking the outcomes of this chamber match is bloody hard. Really hard. Mm-hmm. Randy and AJ, I think, are too big for the US title. But as you said, if you want to elevate the secondary titles, putting them in the hunt obviously elevates it. So that leaves Drew and Seth. But then after WrestleMania, what happens with that picture? Because everyone's apparently at the US title. It's difficult. I'm looking at, I've got the match on my screen right now, or the competitors for the match. And I cannot, for the life of me, see a way forward at all. But hey, you know, that's why we don't get paid the big bucks on work 82-hour weeks and what have you that the writers do. So yeah, that's our mind, our thoughts, our feelings. That's going to be the main event. Drew possibly winning, standing tall as the chamber's being lifted, cutbacks backstage, and you'll see Seth and Cody in a pile of bones and ladders and chairs and Roman standing tall. What about that?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I could definitely see something like that. You know what hasn't been, and they've been doing a lot of work with him about somebody that, and if anyone's been watching Raw lately, they've seen lots of vignettes, lots of interviews. Sami Zayn almost seems conflicted. He's been on this losing streak against Shinsuke Nakamura, and he's been preoccupied with Drew McIntyre. And one of the things he said is, I will be a champion again. And
yeah.
What would happen? Where does he play a part in this card that we don't know about? Or is he implicated at some point? Does he have to go back to finding where that championship was within him? Does he have to turn back to his friends? And is he and Kevin Owens realigned going into WrestleMania? We just know that he's conflicted and seems lost. So there's a tension being paid to him.
Yeah. As you said, the vignettes and everything else, he's getting like the push. They're basically saying, hey, remember this guy? Yeah, he's going to be a big part going forward. Him and Kevin are always going to be bonded, no matter what. Friend, foe, whatever. They're going to be forever bonded. The problem with with Sammy is me and Sami Zayn have had a love relationship for about 11 years, and all the way back in other promotions that he's worked in. If they were going to pull the trigger on him to make him a huge star, it should have been last year. literally this time last year. I know storyline wise, he was never going to beat Roman, but I think they left him cold by not following up on that singles. There was a whole month, or the Rumble onwards, so it's like 8 weeks worth where he was Daniel Bryan effect, isn't it? Here, where everyone in the world was talking about him. He was the ultimate underdog, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. So he loses to Roman, and then they go, right, okay, you and Kev straight into Mania, get the tag titles. And then they kind of forgot his singles run, where he was red, bloody hot. And to get him back to that again is going to be difficult. It's going to be nigh on impossible.
Agreed. But they suffered. I mean, this is a case where you have so many premium guys getting over, even a Jey Uso on his own, right? I mean, look at how Survivor Series was stacked up. Outside of Randy, who was coming back, Cody and Seth and Sammy and, I mean, and Jey Uso. Like, these are guys that were all there. But, you know, he said he's going to be a champion again. He didn't say for what. Boy, wouldn't him knocking off Gunther, when that would be the one that happens out of the blue, be something that, because he's been such a dominant champion. I mean, here we are armchair booking, right? But at the same time, what helps to get him back to that red hot status that was at? Do you have any ideas what
the problem happen? The problem with Walter / Gunther is that he's got that unbeatable mojo effect about him right now. It doesn't matter who he's facing, he comes out on top. And if you're bringing back Sammy to without not much of a build, so to speak, and for him to take the title, it does Gunther a disservice, because you've built Gunther up to this unbeatable beast, like he's got the Brock rub basically. And if for that to come in and for that to happen, I just don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me, especially as they're trying to build the prestige of the IC title. And I don't know. I can see where you're coming from. I can definitely see it.
He's got this underdog mentality. And so now, if we put all of this attention of, there's definitely a push coming, what does it look like? Who would you care most about? Okay, so let's put it out there then. And any listeners are free to share their feedback too. If somebody will eventually defeat Gunther for the title, who do you see it being? Do you see it being a Jey Uso? Who on the Raw roster? I mean, has Miz kind of come and gone with his potential place in challenging for that title? Is he so dominant that he transitions to challenging for the world title and just leaves this title vacant?
That could work. If you're going to have Gunther as this unbeatable beast or whatever, then yeah, he just literally turns around and goes, I've beaten everyone around me, I'm going to step up, I want Seth. Or, well, it's going to have to be Seth because Gunther's a heel. Or a face champion or whatever. And he will drop the title and Sammy could win a tournament or a 8-way or whatever they do, a ladder match, whatever, and win the title that way. If you want Sammy or Jay or another mid-carder to defeat Gunther, they need to go on a tear. They need to go on like a Goldberg level kind of, not like 158-0, but
no, you know, a but good
10 match unbeaten streak even to look like a promising opposition rather than just someone that you're just having a match with Gunther and getting whooped. Like I said, we've said before, or like we started recording these again, that they've made a rod to run back with Gunther because now he's so dominant. There will come a point where there's no one to challenge, and maybe, yeah, I don't know. I'm just randomly rambling.
If they do build towards anybody potentially, it probably you can't get SmackDown Raw stayed on Raw, because I think that's the only guy that has that. It's funny you mentioned Goldberg, and he has the spear, and he's certainly yeah. got a presence about him too. Yeah, it feels like Gunther is, if he's so above the title then too, then, you know, he may look, see, and I thought that they were going to go in that direction of him versus Seth, because he came out and there were times where he went face to face with Seth saying he was going to face him for the title. And while he's yeah. holding the IC title, I really thought that that could have been the direction they went with this match, and that Gunther was the one that was going to be in the Elimination Chamber match, and it worked out. But then why not have two dominant champions? And then
I think they were, and then Punk got injured, Rock got put on the board of directors, and yeah. everything changed.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it was supposed to be Gunther versus Brock. Wasn't that the talk?
That's what Walter has been wanting for years. I think there was talk of Brock wanting yeah. it as well. And then obviously stuff happens and that got thrown right out of the can.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So yeah, as Mark said, folks, what do you think? Let us know. I mean, I was about to say we say this every week. This is the second pod back, but we put on our
social. But we are saying it every week.
Yeah. Get in touch. Let us know. Talk to us. You know, do what Ethan's done today. Hit us up on our socials. Drop us an email. And oh my God, an email. How old do I sound? Drop us a tweet. Facebook, Insta. Just we love, live, breathe wrestling. So. Talk to us. You never know. We'll get you on the pod and discuss your thoughts and queries. So I think that is the end of the show. Once again, thank you so much, dude. It is always a pleasure to talk to you and talk wrestling with you.
Ah, right back at you.
Ah, bless you, man. And yeah, do you want to tell people where they can hit you up?
Sure, they can hit me up on our sites. X, Twitter, whatever we're going to call it.
Twitter, Pro
Wrestling PSD.
It is Twitter.
Twitter.
It is not X.
Okay.
It is Twitter.
Okay. That's fine. Let's call it Twitter. All right. I don't want to be like cut off by Musk. So at Pro Wrestling PSD, or you can reach me on my personal Twitter at the Mark Madison. You reach us out also on Instagram at Pro Wrestling Post. I think that would be it. Yourself, Mark?
Thank you. I just want to say that with WrestleMania literally not long now, not long at all, Mark and everyone at the Post are going to be churning out so much content. Just get over there, read it. It is fantastic. Everyone there does amazingly good, amazing work. That's a bit of a silly thing to say. Amazingly amazing. You'd never guess I used to write for them. Just get over there. Read the work. I've been awake for like nearly 13 hours, so give me a break. Get over there, read the work. Totally. It is awesome. Share, like, whatever you got to do on the social medias over there. My social media is on the Twitter. It is at the Mark Blake. And over on the Instagram, it is at the @Mark_Blake. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we will bid you adieu. Mark, again, thank you so much, as always. I will speak to you in another couple of weeks for another pod. What do you reckon?
Are you kidding me? We're going to probably talk after this pod. We're going to talk to each other tomorrow. We have to be honest with listeners. Everybody, Mark and I talk almost every day, one way or another, for one reason or another, just to show that our friendship goes beyond just recording on a podcast. So just be aware that our families are intertwined, our friendship is intertwined, and this is fun. This is just two guys. I'm having a coffee right now, but one day we're going to do this drunken podcasting. Got some ideas.
Yeah, we are.
I'm not sure what that's going to sound like. Yeah, we've talked about it. So that's a conversation for another day.
It will sound a mess, but it will be amazing content. Trust me. Trust me on that. There's only one other person I talk to as much as you, and that's my friend Dan, who I mentioned last week. And you've both got separate kind of message tones. So when my, yep. my phone goes, my little wingman, he always goes, ah, that's Dan, or ah, that's Mark. So it's very recognizable that I talk to you two quite a lot. Oh my God, that's 2 weeks in a row, two pods in a row now. I've just name dropped Dan. Again, where's my money?
Yeah, right. I'm wondering, where is your money?
Right, folks, we'll let you go. We really hope you enjoy Elimination Chamber this weekend. We really, really hope you enjoy the pod. If you do, like, share, you know the details. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you very much, folks.